In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you have established the church in the world as an instrument of unity. And that, as it says in the Council, the Vatican Council, that the Church is ready to be an extension of the Holy Trinity. That we are to be a sign of that unity. The unity of truth, unity of love. In our reflections today, we humbly ask that through your Holy Spirit, you will help us to understand our mission, how we can be better instruments of unity. And we pray to an intercession of Our Lady of Prompt Succor, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Saint Joseph, Saint Titus and Saint Timothy, Saint Faustina and Blessed Dina, and all your saints and angels, in the name of Jesus the Lord. So we want to reflect today on the call that we have received as members of the church, the call to become instruments of unity. We will begin with reflections on Psalm 133. The psalm reads as follows. It's a short psalm. How good, how delightful it is for all to live together like brothers. Fine as oil on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard to the collar of his robes. Copious as Hermon's dew, falling on the heights of Zion, where Yahweh confers his blessing, everlasting life. How good, how delightful it is for all to live together like brothers, of course, and sisters. This is a kind of an exclamation of a sort of a discovery of something that is rare, like the pearl of a great price. How good, how delightful it is for all to live together like brothers. I remember visiting a home which was certainly not a very rich place, but there was a sense there of the love that existed between the members of the family. Nothing can compare with this delight. And how good it is when we can be like brothers and sisters living with love with each other. And on the other hand, we could put it in a negative way. Instead of how good, we would say how bad it is. instead of saying how delightful it is, we would say how dreadful it is for all to live together at odds with each other. And so the Lord has called us to begin to experience heaven, even on this earth. And as St. John the Evangelist says, where there is love, there is God. And therefore, the presence of God is connected where two or three gather in his name. And that's how good and how delightful it can be when this happens. It is an anticipation of heaven. The general intention for this month, chosen by Pope Benedict, goes like this: that the Church may strengthen her commitment to full visible unity in order to manifest ever more clearly her nature as a community of love, in which is reflected the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the prayer for this month. And so these meditations today will be related to that. Of course, we think also of those who are our separated brothers and sisters, and how we relate with them. But it must start in our families. It must start in our little communities, in our little groups. Whatever we do to ensure unity among each other is a participation in the salvation, the plan of salvation of Jesus, of the Lord. Because Jesus came and offered his life for that very purpose. And whenever we interfere with the unity that should be existing with each other, we are clearly working against Christ. If we want to put it dramatically, it's like a slap in the face. I will read from the Gospel of St. John. One of them, Caiaphas, the high priest, that year said, "You don't seem to have grasped the situation at all. You fail to see that it is better for one man to die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed." And then St. John says, he did not speak in his own person. It was as high priest that he made this prophecy that Jesus was to die for the nation, and not only for not for the nation only, but to gather together in unity the scattered children of God. Why did Jesus die? He died so that we would be reunited together. No longer would the Tower of Babel exist, or the effects of the consequences of the pride that was manifested then, that we would speak the same language, the language of truth, the language of love. And so, but to gather together in unity the scattered children of God. So that we go back to the psalm. Where are we going to find heaven on earth? Where are we going to find what is the supreme good and most delightful? How good and how delightful it is for all to live together like brothers. And in the early church, it is said that the pagans looked at the Christians and their reaction was, see how they love one another. This is who we are. We're a people who are able to overcome our differences, whether it's race, religion, whatever it is. And we're able, by the grace of God, of course, to love one another and to remain united. And this is at least it appears to be words that some of the saints are saying to us, and this is coming from Saint Teresa the Little Flower. She says, brothers and sisters, Christ's love must shine from your eyes. And we may ask, why is she saying, Christ's love must shine from your eyes? This is my own reflection. Because the eyes reveal the state of the soul, as it is said. If I am filled with love, my eyes will will manifest this to everyone that I meet. It is amazing how much our eyes speak. Either they speak love or they can speak hatred, rejection, shunning. So, we continue. Well, first I'll repeat the words that we heard already and then go on. Brothers and sisters, Saint Teresa tells us, Christ's love must shine from your eyes. Now you do not have Christ's love unless he puts it there for you. Again, a very important point. The reason we're baptized is that Christ, through baptism, incorporates us into himself. And so I will go now to go back to the psalm where we are given two images, but I'll first start with the first one. After he says how good and how delightful it is for us, for all to live together like brothers, he says, fine as oil on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard to the collar of his robes. Now this may appear to be a bit of a strange way to speak about love and brotherly love, but we go deeper into this and we find that, first of all, Aaron is a priest. So Aaron becomes a type of Christ. Christ first is anointed with the oil. He says, the Lord has sent me, he has anointed me with oil and the oil of the Spirit, and has sent me to bring good news to the poor, and so on, as we find in St. Luke. And so the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit that comes through Christ the priest. Because Christ offered his life for us, the Spirit that was in him starts to flow or to be poured into us, into our hearts. And so the priesthood of Christ, as the priesthood of Aaron, his priesthood was a sacrifice that would bring about this transformation of mankind. And so the church is a receiving this oil, not only at especially at confirmation, and also, of course, those who are consecrated in a special way in the priesthood. But the royal priesthood is also receiving the same oil, the same spirit that was in Christ. So it flows from the head, who is Christ, and it flows into the members, as the psalm describes it. And so, if we go back to Saint Therese, now you do not have, if you do not have Christ, now you do not have Christ's love unless he puts it there for you. So this is the gift of Christ to us, that is the gift that he won for us, the gift of the Spirit that enables us to love our brothers and sisters and to be united in love and truth.